Well, as you may recall, brethren, we've been doing a series on the Ten Commandments. And thus far, we've done the first four commandments. And today, we're going to do the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is the commandment with a promise. And that's how I remember it. I remember that this commandment has a very strong and powerful promise. And if we keep this commandment, it would be well with everybody for prosperity, a blessed life, a blessed home and a blessed community and a blessed nation. And that's why God designed it for the whole nation of Israel. You know, when we read the Ten Commandments, sometimes we just read them quickly and they just seem like something singular purpose, a direct command to do something or not to do something. And we quickly walk away. We memorize the Ten and we don't really think about the meaning, the deep meaning and what's behind them. Actually, in what we need to really consider that this is God's thought process. This is how God's thinking. So why did God put the Ten Commandments in the order he did, in the way he did it? And that's what we're diving into today. We're diving into the deep application and meaning of these commandments. And how do we apply them today in your life, at this time, in this moment in history? So when we consider the fifth commandment, most people don't grasp the ramifications of the violation of it that, you know, undermines the family. And soon it launches into corrupting communities. And then ultimately, the entire nation is affected by this. So it behooves us to study it. It behooves us to really grab a hold of it and obey this commandment. So this commandment is very real, applicable for living in today's society, for it deals with the subject of authority. So we better take a great deal of interest in it. Now, the first four commandments directly deal with our relationship with God, the highest authority. And when we violate any of the first four, we're committing a form of idolatry. And when you violate any of these commandments, you value something or put something at a higher value than God when you violate the first four. So we're talking about the subject of authority today. Also, the Ten Commandments are said to be divided into two main parts. The first four are written for us to develop a right relationship with our God. And the last six are written for us to develop a proper relationship with one another. That's the design. The commandments were developed from the first and second great commandments. And we find this instruction in the book of Matthew. There was a lawyer testing Jesus, and he asked, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" So in Matthew 22, if you want to turn there, Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus answered him and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now the commandments are listed in order, with the commands that give us the greatest benefit both spiritually and physically at the top of the list. God designed it that way. The commandments that show love toward our God are the first four commandments at the very top of the list. Our relationship with God is the key to our spiritual and physical well-being, and without a right relationship with God, we are unable to fulfill all the other commandments, all the other laws. Therefore, as the first commandment governs our relationship with God, the fifth commandment is the first among those that govern our relationship with other people. So when we keep it or break it, it affects these relationships. So we find the instructions to honor thy father and mother, that instruction is at the top of the second list. It's at the very top. So when we learn to honor our parents, we also find that the lessons we learn become ingrained into our character for the management of our relationship with others, with our employers, our teachers, our ministers, our elders, and ultimately our God. So we find that the fifth commandment bridges between the two great commandments. It's the great bridge. It bridges between the two great commandments. And we'll discuss those reasons today. As a child, we first learn to honor or revere our parents. They are in the place of God to a child. Then as we mature, we learn to bridge from our physical parents to our Father in heaven. God is orderly, and he has a purpose and place for all things, and he did this with the Ten Commandments. So the purpose of this message today is to bring an understanding of the crucial nature of this commandment. It has serious ramifications for families, churches, communities, the nation, and ultimately our relationship with God. That's the fifth. The first point I like to bring about is the promise. Point one, the promise. What is the promise that's contained in the fifth commandment? What does it entail? Now, the scriptures say it's the first commandment with a promise, and that came from Paul in Ephesians. The commandment is the first in a series that primarily deal with our relationships with other people. Yet the purpose and meaning of this commandment goes so deep, it's much deeper than that. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, 3, Paul is speaking directly to the children in this verse. He calls it out. He calls out to the children, saying, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." So we find the scripture commentary by Paul regarding it. He says that it's the first commandment and one that contains a promise, which we read. And he's quoting directly from Exodus 20, verse 12, or Deuteronomy 5, 16, where we find the Ten Commandments. So in Exodus 20, 12, we find the commandment. It says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land, which the Lord your God has given you." That's the promise. Your days may be long upon the land. Now, when God promises something, you can be sure he'll keep his side of the bargain. God does not lie, and he does not change. God will not change his mind, and he will fulfill the promises that he gives us here. The promise is personal to the individual, as well as collective to the nation of Israel. And it refers to physical blessings, a long and blessed and prosperous life. For Israel, this meant that they would receive all the Abrahamic covenant blessings. They would live in the promised land, and they would have prolonged days in that land. The blessings stem from the fruit of obedience. The fruit of obedience. You reap goodness and not suffer evil outcomes because of sin. For us today, the promise still stands, and we will be blessed living a fruitful, long, and prosperous life, having peace in our days. Now, these promises are real, and we are encouraged to obey God because of them. The promises encourage us, right? The promise will be realized throughout your lifetime, extending your life, and you'll live a blessed life. The promise is real because it is at the heart of the law. Just as the law of physics can't be broken, if you obey this law, you'll enjoy the benefits of the promise. Today, you'll understand that through honoring, you'll listen to and acquire wisdom from your elders. You'll not submit yourself to foolishness, but you'll apply the wisdom. And as you learn to give proper honor and reverence, you'll receive favor from those in authority and those, you know, that can give you favor. And you will have greater opportunity in this life. You'll soon learn that you can excel at the things you pursue because you followed this commandment. You learn to keep all the rest of the commandments of God from this commandment. For this commandment is a bridge that begins from your youth, a springboard for the rest of your lives to keeping all of God's commandments. And you learn to have a right relationship with God. So point two, what does it mean to honor? At the front of this commandment is the word honor. So point two, what does it mean to honor? Now, comprehending this key, that the word honor, to understand what honor is important to keeping this commandment, to understand the ramifications of this commandment. Now, honor means to give high regard, respect, and esteem, to bring respect or credit to an outward token, a sign or act that manifests high regard. And that's a dictionary meaning, but it's much more than that. In the Bible, the word is used to connote honor that is due one of a higher position. And in many contexts, it refers to people of nobility or great social distinction. There is honor that we are to show a king. And today, that includes our leaders, such as our senators, our judges, and our president. It is a public display of respect, like saluting a military man, or giving a brave man a medal for courage in battle. This is the type of honor we are describing is the same type of honor we're to give our parents. Honor them. So we see here that respect is key to giving honor. Respect. Now, respect means to treat parents with propriety and consideration, to regard them as inviolable. You give your parents due respect because their position, because they're in that position, and they have the responsibility for you as a children. And you do not cross your parents, even if they're not perfect, even if they're not exactly right, because they are the parents, and they are in that position, and they are due the honor. The Bible also commands us to give reverence to our parents. Reverence means to show deferential respect. In other words, showing adoration and awe in a good sense. We find this instruction in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 19, if you would like to turn there. Leviticus 19 deals with the civil law. In Leviticus 19:3, it says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." So reverence means to be afraid, stand in awe, and thus includes the psychological reaction of fear. You'll find that the Bible translates the Hebrew here as either fear or reverence. It is a proper fear, one that we need to learn so we can bridge to a healthy fear of God. A memory scripture is Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We learn godly fear by first learning a proper relationship as a child to their parents. It's a combination of love, reverence, and trepidation if you happen to do wrong. The scripture indicates that honor and reverence must dominate this relationship, and it comes forth from a child's loving heart. The child must love the parent. Just as we're to love our God, you know, love our God from our very heart and soul. This is where it stems. Thus we bridge from honoring and reverencing our parents to honoring and reverencing our God, our Father in heaven. It's how we learn to keep the commandments, beginning with the first, the second, and the third commandment. As it says in Exodus 20, verse 3, the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," it says. So you learn to acknowledge the authority of your Father in heaven, for the first deals with whom we worship. Who is our God? Exodus 20, verse 3, first commandment. And the next verse, Exodus 20, verse 4, the second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image." You learn the way to properly respect and love your Father in heaven, for the second deals with the way we worship. We don't use worship aids. We learn to give proper honor and respect to our Father, and that's in the second commandment. The third commandment, Exodus 20, verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." So you learn to honor the name of your Father in heaven, for the third deals with the quality of your worship. You must give Father honor in all you do and all that you say and all and how you act in this life. So that's the second point. The third point is that all starts with parents. So it all starts with the parents. The fifth commandment we're instructing in parenting begins for us here. It's the first commandment, I believe, in parental instruction. So we first teach this commandment to our children before we can teach the children anything else. For if a child does not honor the parents, nor heed their words, or obey their commands, the child is unteachable. It is therefore extremely important for the parents to demand that they are honored and revered in the home. Proverbs 22:6 is another memory verse. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the goal of parenting is so that children will walk a proper way of life. They'll learn the commandments. They'll learn the right way to walk in this life, following the commandments of God. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, Paul's instructing the children again. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So there's instructions to the parents right there. So the instruction is to the children that they obey the parents. It says, "In the Lord." For the parents are given authority over the children by God. They are God's ministers in charge of the children. The parents are God's ministers in charge of the children. Think of that. You're doing God's work by parenting. The writer further clarifies the parenting role here. The parents are not to be overly draconian or unreasonable or wrathful. So never strike a child in anger. If you must discipline, think of discipline that it has to be surgical, has to be precise and short-term. Do surgically. The parents are to raise up children the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and teach them to love God, which is the first of the Ten Commandments. The instruction is to teach them by words, verbal and written, right, to chastise and to rebuke if you need to give warning when necessary. In Colossians 3, verse 20, again, speaking to the children, he says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So the writer again repeats this instruction, but adds a warning to the parents here that they should not discourage the children. This can occur with perpetual fault-finding, which has the effect to discourage or dishearten children. And what can happen is that a child can have a broken heart. Their spirit could fail, and this could be fatal to youth. So remember to heap on the praise. When they do good, when they do well, heap it on. Continue to tell your children, repeat how much you love them. So heap on the praise and be very surgical, very precise with any discipline. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." So when a child has the proper attitude of honor, respect, reverence, fear, all that included, he will be open to hearing instructions from the parents. He'll be readily receiving the parents' commandments and learn to obey God's commandments. When a child is obedient of and by itself, that gives honor and respect to the parent. And this proverb shows here that the child is rewarded with ornaments, you know, and chains of honor. That means giving him privileges and opportunities in this life. If you obey and you do well and you're well-pleasing to your parents and to the elders, to your teachers, you'll find opportunities for you, open doors for you. God gave us laws, ordinances, and judgments that seem harsh today, right? Especially in this liberal society. Yet we should obey and pay close attention to these commandments, for they give insight into God's thought processes. Turn over to Exodus 21, please. You see, God is very serious about this fifth commandment, for he establishes a foundation for us here. You know, a foundation for our youth to carry these things with them for the rest of their lives. And Exodus 21, verse 15, we can read this, these commandments here, and see how serious God is about the fifth commandment. In Exodus 21, verse 15, it says, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." And verse 17, it says, "And he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Now, in the book of Exodus, in this chapter 21, we find these two commandments are placed in a series of judgments dealing with murder, kidnapping, and manslaughter. So that's very serious business. And it's, you know, and God placed them there for a reason. We need to take the fifth commandment seriously. It is common practice today for people to curse parents. You know, the word curse means to make little or be contemptible, or be swift to revile. It's a very evil thing. It is speaking of a type of mindset that holds parents with contempt. It's the actual opposite. It's a very opposite thing of what a blessing is. In Matthew 15:4, in the New Testament, we find this command repeated. So it's not just an Old Testament thing. In Matthew 15:4, we hear Jesus Christ repeating it. Jesus said, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." So Jesus Christ repeats this commandment in the New Testament, so it's not some Old Testament thing, something that is lost in the sands of time here. Now we should be seeing how serious God is about this law. And when evil rises to the level of violence towards parents, whether physical outward act or cursing or contempt with verbal with very vile words coming out of someone's mouth, which actually emanate from the heart of a person, the law demands here that the evil be put away. Therefore, what we're talking about is a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter of the heart, a condition of the heart and soul, where the evil comes from. And that's why the punishment was so severe. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, we have some instruction here. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied." There's the promise again. "Yet they may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth." So we find this scripture in Deuteronomy admonishes parents to teach God's commandments. He says teach all of them too. And he's given instruction here so that they're always spoken of all the time. And they're written on the doorposts. They're posted as a sign in your house. And many of you do have the Ten Commandments posted in your dining room or in your living room. But that's the good thing. So God is looking for that. So they'll become culturally ingrained in the children who eventually mature into adults. And they'll eventually have their own families. And they'll be leaders in the community. And ultimately, you see how it can affect the entire nation. We find that the promises here in the fifth commandment, that your days may be long upon the land, is repeated. It's repeated again, that the fifth commandment here is a springboard. It's a springboard for keeping all of the commandments, all of God's commandments. Think about it this way. Maybe you do well in honoring your father and mother and you keep the fifth commandment, but you also steal, murder, or lie, or do other law-breaking things. Now, do you expect to live a prosperous and long life if you break those other commandments? I don't think so. You'll probably end up in prison or some other evil, poor outcome in life. So you definitely want to keep the commandments and see how they're a springboard to keeping all the other commandments. And when you keep all the other commandments, you have a prosperous and long life, a peaceful life. You know, you see the promise becomes a reality because of the springboard effect. The child is teachable, he learns well, he carries it with him all his life, in all areas of life, and he does well. In Luke 16, verse 10, says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." This is a proverb, this is a principle that Jesus Christ taught. "For as you do well as a child, say, obedience to little things, you'll mature and grow up as an adult and be faithful and obedient in the more important matters." That's the springboard effect we're looking for here. That's point three. Point four about the fifth commandment. The point is, honor all people, authorities, elders, ministers, employers. Honor all people. So it's all about learning proper respect and attitudes toward authority. It begins with parents and it bridges to all other relationships in our lives. It first bridges to God the Father, our supreme parent in heaven, and to Jesus Christ, the one who has authority over your lives. So we first begin to learn to keep the top four commandments by keeping the fifth commandment as a child. That's where it springs from. And Jesus Christ has authority over us. As it says in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven on earth." And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "And he put all things," that is God the Father, "put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, and fullness of him who fills all in all." So first, we've got to give respect and honor to God. Now we can see that our attitude authorities requires honor to also elders, ministers, employers, and government authorities. So let's first take a look at the elders, those of senior age in our midst. In Leviticus 19, verse 32, it says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God, I am the Lord." So it is throughout the entire length of our days that we are to be learning the fifth commandment, proper fear of God, by continuing obeying this fifth commandment. God extends the fifth commandment here to the gray-headed, those that are elderly, those that are older among us, those with experience and wisdom that they can pass around. By giving proper respect and honor here to the gray-headed, we learn to fear God. Now, this commandment also is extended to the elders as serve in the church and minister to the brethren. And we can include our school teachers and our coaches here too. They are worthy of honor as well. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." God is saying that those who labor, those that guide and direct your souls, are especially worthy. It says of double honor, too. We should be very careful to watch our tongue should we disrespect any elders among us, especially those that serve. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So God is saying that we need the right attitude of submissiveness, right? Submissiveness towards our elders. The elders work very hard for the brethren because of their love for you. They love you. That's why they serve. And you should be submissive, giving them honor and respect. Give them honor and respect so they continue to find joy in serving. Now, we're also to extend honor and have a submissive attitude toward our employers, to the ones that we work for they are our masters on this earth. Now, at the time of the writing of these epistles, many of the brethren were in a system of slavery, right? But today, we're all free men and women, and we work for whomever we choose if they would hire us, right? So whether one is free or slave, we're admonished here to give honor and respect to our employers and our supervisors. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, it says, "Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed." So when you give honor to your employers, you're giving honor in the name of God. We are to be beaming light in this world. We are to beam out as an example in this world. And we can fulfill our responsibility here by giving honor to our employers and our supervisors at our place of work. In Ephesians 6, verse 5 through 8, it says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's slave or free." So Paul here, in writing to Ephesians, expands more on the subject, for he says we are to serve our masters, our employers, with the same fear and reverence as if we're working directly for Jesus Christ himself. Our attitude must display a willing and giving heart. Right, we're to be a valuable servant to our employers, and it should come from the heart. As it says in 1 Peter 2:18, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." Now, Peter's writing and tells us that honor is to be given to all our employees and supervisors, whether they're good or harsh to us, you know, even the ones that are the most difficult to deal with. We must remember that honor is given due to their position they hold. And we're not to judge whether to withhold or to give honor. We're to always to give honor because they are our employers. They're in that position. Now, going to government authorities, it has been very fashionable to trash our government authorities. We are very critical of the elected representatives in our government, especially our Congress, especially our president. It's very fashionable these days. We know that these men are fallible, and often they are corrupt men, but they hold significant position in our government. They're the authorities over our lives. The Bible teaches the approach we are to have to government authorities. In 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 17, it says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So we're to be submissive to government authorities. That's what it says, from the highest, that is our kings and our governors, and toward all his agents, whether they're the police or the bureaucrats. God wants us to have a submissive and respectful attitude to governing authorities. For we represent him on this earth, don't we? We're to represent his good name on this earth. Honor must be given to all, especially the king, for they hold authority that is given to them by God. In Romans 13, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, "Let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." So no matter how harsh or corrupt these governing authorities are, they are still appointed, or they're allowed to be there by God. We should therefore be respectful and honor all men, all these governing authorities, and give Christ a good name. And continuing in Romans 13, verse 5, it says, "Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of these you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor," it says. Again, we're not to withhold our taxes, our customs, fear, or reverence, or even honor, or respect these authorities. Now, so we need to be careful and check our attitude towards governing authorities. And then the fifth point is that the fifth commandment is a foundation for an orderly society. It's a foundation for an orderly society. So we should begin now to see how the fifth commandment is a catalyst establishing a functional and orderly society. The Ten Commandments are foundations for our living, the bricks and mortar of our lives. The fifth commandment is that mortar that cements relationships and establishes accepted lines of authority, how all things function and work together in a orderly society. So let's take a look at the biblical example in Isaiah, where we find that God has taken away his blessings because of the sins of Israel. So we'll turn over to the book of Isaiah. Now, this story, this was a time of drought and a loss of production of food crops. So it was a stressful time in the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Behold, the Lord, the God of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes and babes to rule over them. The people will be oppressed, everyone by another and everyone by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder and the base toward the honorable. So we find here a description of a breakdown of a society and a breakdown of sound governing authority. He's taken away all those that are respected people, all the mighty men, all the respected elders. Anyone honorable is being removed and replaced by children, by immature people. There is no more good leaders. It all begins with the breakdown of the family. And it transfers throughout the whole community and then ultimately into the entire nation, as we see in this example. In verse 12, it says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths." So this verse here refers to adults, and it refers to adults that are appointed rulers, but they lack maturity. They're immature people. They lack wisdom. They cannot lead the people in the ways of God. They are of adult age, but they certainly lack maturity. They were not unable to provide wisdom and leadership for a functional and orderly society here. When disrespect and honor goes to the extreme here and creates a situation such as this, it can only be described as anarchy. And we can best describe anarchy as the absence of government or the absence of sound government, you know, where we find people do whatever they please. They do whatever's right in their own eyes. We find that the society breakdown starts when the family's breaking down. And this flows into the community and eventually entire nation is affected. At the heart of the breakdown is the lack of honor and respect for authority. So over time this occurs for those that disrespect parents or spiritually immature people. And they eventually grow into adults and they get into positions of authority and they rule the same way that they were raised. They continue in their immature ways and their immature patterns. They're trained to disrespect people and they respect other people in authority. And the society breaks down. When this happens, they carry this mindset of anarchy into their office, and they lead and teach this way. They lead by bad example in this way. At the heart of this is self-centeredness, always wanting their own way. Immature people are always competing, seeking, self-indulgent, much like siblings fighting and bickering always thinking that someone's getting a better deal than them. It's a mindset of competition, greed, of covetousness. This is an example that they lead, and they lead with this example, and it spreads throughout the whole land. Everyone is affected and follows this mindset. Just look at our conditions in the United States today. Don't we have this mindset today? Can anyone say that the people in position of power in our Congress, at the House of Representatives, at the Senate, the presidency, you know, look at the level of maturity of how they deal with one another. There's no respect for one another or respect to other offices within the government. It's a breakdown. It's immaturity. And we see no respect of one another. Just look at the trample over the Constitution, which establishes our clear lines of authority. It's all breaking down. And how fashionable it is to bash and ridicule these people because of their immaturity. And they bash one another, and it goes on and on. And we can get caught up in this type of bad mouthing because it's easy to find fault. We can see their foolishness, and we can easily find fault because of their childish games, their manipulations, and their corruption. Yes, it's just not found here at the highest forms of government. We find it throughout our society. We find it in our economic system, in businesses, in large corporations. We find it in the education system. It's found in our schools, in our own town. We find it in city government. We find it, if we look, we may even find it in our churches. The whole system is coming down It's falling down around us because of the breakdown of the family. The evil tentacles that are breaking the society down are in every corner of our society because of the violation of the fifth commandment. When it finally breaks down, it's going to be total disorder and chaos. And when the nations become totally corrupt and there's no respect for any other authorities or any other offices, chaos ensues and civil war can break out. And we see that in the world. We've seen that in this country when it was immature at its birth. There was fights and wars and bickering always, if you know your history. So this matter is very serious to God, and he has some very harsh guidelines here in dealing with rebelliousness and stubbornness. He calls it out. God is very serious about this commandment. Turn over to Deuteronomy. We're going to read in that book again. So from the perspective of living in our current society with its current rights and liberality, the scripture we read here will seem out of place in a different era. And it is a different time, but we must learn how God thinks. God tells us that stubbornness and rebelliousness is an evil. And remember how God took Saul away. He took his power away because of stubbornness and rebelliousness. He called it witchcraft. So this is how serious God is about this attitude. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 through 21, it says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, and will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. On top of that, it says he's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stone. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear in fear. So we have a peculiar situation here where a child is stubborn and rebellious. The child will not obey. It does not listen to its parents, even when chastised. The child continues to act stubbornly, refuses to obey, even when corrected. So the parents take the matters to the elders, since they have done all they could to try and to correct the child's behavior. And it's evil behavior. It's the stubbornness and rebelliousness we're talking about. They leave it up to the elders to make a sound and impartial judgment on the child. So we find here an evil heart in the child, a heart that finds pleasure in doing evil. Stubbornness, they're unwilling to change. They're so stubborn, they're unable to be corrected. They cannot be converted. So if in the eyes of the elders, this child has this evil heart, unwilling to change, unable to change, he is judged to be stoned, something unheard of at this age. So why did God put this in Deuteronomy? Why do you think God is seemingly so harsh and cruel here? Well, the child most likely will commit greater sins in the future. He's walking a wrong and evil path. And if he's allowed to run free, he'll commit other heinous acts like stealing, robbery, murder. Those things come to mind. And we have parts of our country, parts of the society that are breaking down now where we have children committing murders. And some mass murders in our own very schools. So it is a very serious thing, and it is happening in our society. And it falls down upon the family, the breakdown of the family. So God required stoning for two purposes. First, it was a deterrent for Israel. So Israel would hear and fear, so the people wouldn't fall into these categories, right? And also that there would be peace in the land. So if the evil did exist, there was a method to remove the evil, so that there will be peace in the land. Because God desired a holy nation. He wanted Israel to be holy, free of evil. And the sixth point is, the final point is, the fifth commandment is for raising godly children. Raising godly children. Now, one of the major reasons God instituted this commandment is for the building of strong families. For the family is a building block for the kingdom and for good communities. Parents are God's agents, ministers for him on this earth. They're the first line of governance for the child, right? It's the first line of governance in the church. It's supposed to be that way for the nation of Israel. Family governance requires parents to teach the commandments and children to understand, obey authority, giving proper honor and respect. We're going to read in Malachi today, Malachi chapter 2, if you please. Malachi chapter 2, we have an example here to learn from. Malachi 2, verse 10, it says, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously. An abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tent of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts." Yeah, and this is the second thing you do. "You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands." So we find a situation here where the family is breaking down again. And God calls it his holy institution. And God says he loves this institution of marriage, of families. Israel had profaned this beautiful institution of God. They profaned it. The parents weren't able to teach God's law in this framework. They were divorcing their native wives and marrying foreign women. And these foreign women are bringing their pagan ways into the family. This is total breakdown and chaos for the nation of Israel. God's law was not being taught. In Malachi 2, continue to read in verse 14, it says, "Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring." God is seeking godly offspring in strong, loving families. That's what he wants. So he continuing, he says, "Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." So the nation was divorcing their native women here. They're marrying these pagan women that brought these false gods into the families, right? So God is very angry about this. He is seriously angry, for they are dealing treacherously with these wives, putting them away, committing an abomination. The reason God hates divorce so much is it's destroying the building blocks of the nation, the family. That's what was happening here. These healthy families were not existing anymore that were teaching God's law, teaching them and pointing them to God the Father. So then the children aren't able to learn to love and fear God without this structure. He established the family unit here. He calls out the father and mother as one flesh, that one unit, the family unit. And he indicates that some are given his spirit. Is he pointing to the Holy Spirit or some parental love, some power there? He gives that to us that we can teach our children in the covenant marriages that we have with husband and wife. God gave us that power to manage the children, to properly raise that children, so we can teach the children to know God and keep his commandments. The children are to be godly, meaning that they are to reflect the nature of God. You're to learn that. The children are to learn that, to have godly character. As it says in Leviticus 19, verse 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." So God here connects being holy people to honoring your father and mother, the fifth commandment. Amazing. So you see, God wants us to learn to be holy people. So in this verse, he places the importance of Sabbath keeping on the same level reverence to parents, to loving your honoring your father and mother. God's system for developing children for the kingdom is based on strong families and the proper approach to authority and governance. We are to be a submissive people. We are to be teachable so we can learn God's way. And when we follow God's law, When we follow God's commandments, when we follow Jesus Christ, we are holy people. As it says in Malachi 1, turn over to Malachi 1. Malachi 1 verse 6 says, a son honors his father. This is God speaking to us. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? He asks. And if I'm a master, where is my reverence? He asks. Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? So there's a problem in the nation of Israel here. We have the priests of the nation not able to point to the Father and give him honor and respect. It was breaking down seriously at that time. So it eventually points us back to God, for the fifth commandment is that bridge, right? The bridge from parental authority that includes honor, reverence, to godly authority. So we have strong families when we're obedient and submissive, right? We have godly families when we do this, when children learn God's ways from their parents. It's much easier to bridge this when children learn this when they're young and they learn it throughout their developing years. When they leave the home, they learn the commandments of God. They learn about the God the Father, and they're able to bridge from parent to God the Father, who's the ultimate authority in our lives. That's why we call it the bridge commandment as well. It's that bridge we need to cross, and the parents need to teach it to the children so the children can cross that bridge so they get to know God their Father. It begins with honoring and reverence in the home. So in conclusion, brethren, we have traveled a lot of ground today. We've traveled a lot of ground in studying the fifth commandment, and there's more to study. This is the commandment of promise. It's that bridge commandment. We should hang on to those things. I hope you can see that the promise is a lot more dynamic than just receiving a personal blessing from God. The promise is much greater than that, for it includes the individual. It includes the family. It includes the church, the community, and ultimately the entire nation. As it says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 through 7, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Continually we're to talk about these things and teach the children and keep them in the family, building strong families. So the final verse we read here sums it all up, which is, of course, the first and great commandment here. It brings us back to our greater purpose, to be godly and holy people, to have God, to love God with all our heart, and all our soul, and all our strength. It is our parental responsibility to teach the children, beginning with the fifth commandment. It is the child's responsibility to honor, respect, and reverence parents so that they learn proper respect to authority, understand proper relationships and approach to authority. So this commandment is the springboard commandment that makes all other things easier, all the other commandments easier. If this one is done right, it becomes that bridge commandment, the bridge commandment for our children to get to know their Father in heaven, that they may love God and love him with all their heart and all their strength and all their might.